Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Hakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time, and with me is the OG co-host, it's Ryan Whitfield. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
What's going on?
A lot is going on, apparently. And I know we were just talking about Edinburgh and Ireland in Dublin just a second ago, and the fact that you haven't had a chance, but you might get a chance to see it soon. And I wanted to say, don't forget to hit some distilleries, dude. You got to hit some distilleries while you're over there. I know it's a family thing and all, but you got to, it's cool. It's a cool experience just to tour that stuff. Have you been to a distillery before? A whiskey distillery?
No, I have not. So I know some of that stuff's on the list of potential things that we're going to be doing over there. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's good stuff all the way through. Hey, and, you know, speaking of bars and distilleries and all that stuff, I got to ask you this question, totally unrelated to everything, but did you watch Roadhouse, the new Roadhouse of Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, I have not watched that yet.
Oh, dude, you got to check it out. You got to check it out. I was gonna go ahead and lay into it a little bit. It's not a good movie. It's just a movie that you'll enjoy. That's the way I'll say it. But Conor McGregor is in it, and man, I'll just say this. For anybody who's seen the movie, this is how I expect he is, like, all the time. I just think that he's just playing himself, doing what he normally does. So when you check that out, you gotta let me know what you think, Brian, because I am curious to hear your thoughts on Conor McGregor in Roadhouse. That's after you obviously get all the important vacationing stuff out of your system.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a bit of a movie snob who was ripping apart that movie and Conor McGregor's performance in it today. So
yeah.
it's on my radar, but not something I've watched yet.
Yeah, and trust me, it's not gonna be like this is not winning any awards, right? I'm not saying this is a good movie, but I don't think you're going to regret watching it. And you're definitely not going to regret seeing Conor McGregor doing whatever he does. Anyway, enough of that. Let's talk about some other big dudes. We're talking about running backs today. We're going to be talking, because we know how much Ryan loves running backs, right, Ryan? It's like you think it's the best, most important skill position on the field, and that everyone should spend a first-round draft pick on them. I think that's what our understanding of the running backs are, isn't it?
That's a weird way to pronounce drafting, middle of the road running backs in the third or fifth round, and then winning
right.
Super Bowls with them.
Right.
I think if you look at Patriots, just as an example, Garrett Blunt, James White, and Shane Vereen were all big parts of Super Bowl wins, and they were all nobodies. And I can't even when the Eagles upset the Patriots in 2018, it was Jay Ajayi and Corey Clement. Like, yeah, no, you definitely need every time anyone has ever traded a haul to get running backs, you know, on draft day, a la Ricky Williams. It's worked out really well. It's brought a lot of titles to people. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I'll say this. This year, not an amazing running back trap class, so a lot of opportunity to get him really late in the draft. So, hey, listen, we're going to talk about all the top running back prospects, the top 12 at least by consensus, and where we think they might land and a lot more, so let's get rolling. All right, Ryan. So we discussed this pre-show, and I think that what we agreed on is because everyone has their own big board, so it's never like one grouping of running backs, but there seems to be some consensus over the top eight, and then it tends to be a little bit more varied. So we are going to do the top 12 running backs today by consensus. And by consensus, I mean as between ESPN, Pro Football Focus, and NFL.com. So the top eight generally in consensus are Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, Blake Corum, Marshawn Lloyd, Jalen Wright, Bucky Irving, Ray Davis, Braylon Allen. And then there's a little bit of disagreement in the end of that top 10 there. Some have Isaac Garendo, Kamani Vidal, Tyrone Tracy, Audric Estime, our friend from Notre Dame here, and of course others. But we're going to look at the top 12 there, and those are the names that we're going to look at today. And we're going to start with the consensus number one running back, which isn't actually ranked that high on anybody's big board, but it's Jonathan Brooks of the Texas. And this is going to be interesting because he has not had a lot of tread on the wheels. He actually did not play much in 2021 or 2022 because he had, you might have heard of these guys before, Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson ahead of him. Of course, everyone knows Bijan Robinson selected number 8 overall by the Falcons last year. Roschon Johnson picked by the Bears in the 4th round last year. So, of course, 2023, a great opportunity for Jonathan Brooks, who, by the way, 6 foot tall, 216 pounds, 31.5-inch arm span, and a 9.25-inch hand span. He actually ended up breaking out with being second team all Big 12 conference in 2023. He led Texas with 1,139 rushing yards on 187 carries and 10 rushing touchdowns. He played 11 games, but then missed the rest of the season starting November with a torn ACL. But he has been recovering well, and we'll see how it goes. He should be okay for the start of the season. So let's start with Jonathan Brooks out of Texas first, who is the consensus number one running back in the draft, according to most big boards. What are your thoughts on Jonathan Brooks, and what do you think he might fit in the NFL?
You know, I'll say right off the jump, I love seeing, I was on PFF big board, like you said, while he's the top running back, no one has him very high. I love seeing the first running back being ranked like around 50, 56,
yeah,
somewhere in that
right.
range.
That's exactly your the way you think about it. So yeah, I can understand that. 56 on PFF,
yeah.
By the way.
Perfect. So, I think, again, limited sample size, good athletic player, good vision, so I think there's a lot of potential value. And again, if we'll see how the draft falls, obviously, but if, you start find yourself in a situation where he's a late second rounder and you have a team that's pretty well built out, I like the idea of bringing him in and, adding him to the mix here for me, like an immediately logical fit for him feels like a late second round pick. Now I'm going to talk out of my ass and not know if this pick's been traded away or if this team owns their own pick, but I'm just going to assume for the moment that they do. The Ravens, end of the second round, provided they have their own pick there, and bring him in to understudy behind, because he's obviously, like you said, 6 foot tall, a bit of a bigger back, and bring him in to a committee with Derrick Henry and not put the pressure to be the number one guy right away. And you're using, a low-end second-round pick there and a team that's, pretty decent weapons, provided I've not been paying it. Not been keeping up with the Zay Flowers situation, so I guess I don't really know how well their group is there. But, I have a pretty built roster across the board, a run-heavy offense. They really have a hard time keeping running backs healthy, so I think that's a good fit. The other part that I do just, this is outside the player profile, but it's something I like about Brooks is we all just know how, the shelf life, and not that this always matters either, but the shelf life on running backs is pretty short. So the fact that he's 20 years old, I guess he'll be 21 by the time the season kicks off here, but a younger side guy was great. Now, Todd Gurley, I think, was retired by the time he was 26, so that doesn't always pan out. But the idea of a bigger back, young, doesn't have to come in to be the workhorse right away. I think scheme-wise, could add something there in Baltimore. So that's just an immediate fit in my mind. Again, end of second round, I think that's an ideal landing spot.
Yeah, and so that would be the Baltimore Ravens. They have the number 62 overall pick, so third to the last pick in the second round. That is pretty late. I mean, I think that would be a great deal for them. I think that they right now, as they stand, as you said, they have Derrick Henry, they have Lamar Jackson, probably one of the most dangerous rushing attacks in football just by looking at those two alone. But they don't have a long-term plan, and that right now they have Keaton Mitchell, who showed some promise as a rookie, as an undrafted free agent. Unlikely to be a full-time starter, so we'll see what happens there. But certainly a great opportunity there if Jonathan Brooks were to get picked up there, because they are so run-heavy. I could see them integrating him in their rookie year without, as you say, any pressure to really perform in any significant bell cow way. So that's huge. But I do think there are a number of other teams out there, and we're going to probably talk about the same teams over and over again tonight, because it's the same group of teams that probably need to have a running back. One of those are the Carolina Panthers. They don't have anybody. They're kind of stuck with Miles Sanders right now. I don't know what they're going to do there. I guess there's Chuba Hubbard, but I mean, at the end of the day, they don't really have anything at the running back position. And they also have a late second round pick at 39 overall. I wouldn't be surprised if the Panthers decide to pull the trigger on someone like that there. So what do you think about that? I mean, the Panthers obviously rebuilding still around Bryce Young, but they could really help him out if they gave him a nice pass catching back like Jonathan Brooks, who, by the way, last season had 286 yards receiving on 25 receptions and a receiving touchdown. So he was pretty dynamic in the passing game as well. You know, what do you think about the fit there with the Carolina Panthers? And I'll throw out one more option, the Dallas Cowboys, who have essentially no one at this point. So, I mean, what do you think there between the Cowboys and the Panthers? I mean, they obviously will have some opportunity to grab him in advance of the Ravens, unless the Ravens decide to do something crazy. What do you think?
I absolutely hate the Panthers, but that's just because, again, I just, this is where I, again, I look at a positional chart, you know, where to me, like, you know, if there was a standout guy, I want to draft somebody early because that'll immediately give you a weapon or whatever, fine. But when the guys are, the Panthers scoop them in the third round after they, you know, offensive line needs and maybe a receiver in the first two rounds. Okay, fine. But again, I come back to, I think there's a valuable, a position value chart you got to look at. So I'll just use people in our draft now. I just had to make a pick the other day. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at receivers and tackles that have, we've taken so many in our for the football time mock draft on Twitter for those of you following that, like, so the guys in both positions were gone, and I already addressed quarterback need for the Patriots. So I'm sitting there going, I'm looking at tackles because that feels reasonable. And I eventually just went with Roman Wilson because I said, well, yeah, the Pats already have – that's actually one receiver position they have taking care of the spot position. But, like, if I got to choose, I'm going to take the higher positional value and from each receiver over tackle. So, yeah, Roman Wilson – you figure out a spot for him, you know, because at least it's a pass catcher that can find him. Again, I look at the same thing for a team like the Panthers that, okay, if he's in there on the third round or sound, I still just don't believe, like, I just think there's still a list of needs for the Panthers right now.
Yeah.
You're
breaking up a bit there, by the way, Ryan.
Wi-Fi tonight. Anyways, hopefully it just gets better. I got no answer. I think the Panthers should target him, but the Cowboys makes more sense to me just given the fact that they have other weapons.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with all that. I certainly think, and I think we're going to talk about all these other running backs, and certainly there is a lot of value to be had here. As you mentioned, on the PFF General Big Board, Jonathan Brooks, 56 overall, but ESPN does have them all the way up at 42. So I think there's a little bit of a range there from mid, maybe even almost early second. And I can see the Panthers using the 39 to pick somebody like Jonathan Brooks, you know, just because there just aren't any massive standout running backs after that. Of course, there is the ACL injury that we all have to worry about, but low usage on the tread there. So maybe that kind of balances that out a little bit. Okay, so let's talk about the next guy on this list here. And again, this is going by the order that ESPN has it in, but this is not exactly the order that PFF and NFL has it. But Trey Benson is listed at 60 overall on the big board for ESPN. He had a sub 4.4 40-yard dash at a combine, 4.39. He's one of three backs who had that. And he is fast. He's just incredibly impressive when he's fast there, and he's doing a great job out in Florida State. And there's some questions, of course, you know, all the way around with regard to whether he'll be the guy on all three downs. So, I mean, there certainly is some question mark there because in terms of his production, he's never had a huge production year. You know, 2 years ago, 990 rushing yards, and then he had 144 receiving yards. And last year, 906 rushing yards and 227 receiving yards. So no large production years there for him. And there's some question as to whether he can be the every down back out there. So what are your thoughts here on Trey Benson out of Florida State?
Yeah, so Trey is a player that I'm intrigued by. Before I get too far down that rabbit hole, I'll just state real quick that to your point, yes. Now I'm already drawing a blank who we just spoke about.
Jonathan Brooks.
ESPN has him up at 42. At what point, that I think the Panthers had arguably the best running back in football. A lot of that did them. They won a lot of championships with Christian McCaffrey.
Right. So CMC
there,
obviously did not do anything for him.
that's a cheap shot, but you know, it's what I'm here for. Another good sized player. You know, really high athleticism score. So you know, the production questions are valid, but a high player, high athleticism score. You know, next gen stats on NFL have 80
right
on that.
Yep.
So you know, and again, to your point, the opportunity is 73 in the production score, and the total score 80. Which is their highest ranked for the from the combine. So, you know,
yeah.
I think overall, and I like bigger backs, and so I think that there's going to be some questions about what he can put on tape. But for me, when I get you know running backs, it's you know they have high end potential. I like bigger guys because that means they can block on third down traditionally. I'd have to actually dive into his actual ability.
Right.
You know, his blocking ability. So, you know, one of the downfalls about him listed in his scouting is it seems that just decision-making overall is a weakness for him. So from a physical standpoint, he's a gospel. I actually looked that part up. But it says, you know, he's lacking recognition and positioning. From the running side, leaves too many yards on the field from indecisiveness. And that's the you have to watch, you know, that's probably where the lack of production comes from. But again, from a raw talent standpoint, when you watch Florida State football the last couple of years, when he gets into like a free flowing state where he's not, you know, forced to think and he's really cutting and operating on instinct, that's when you
yep
see the potential in him. So
again, right,
I think that's what I like when I say, again, late second round, early third round with that size. Mix the size speed combo is too good to pass up. Cause I think what he lacks is more coachable stuff, whereas like the actual ability is there. So PFF has him much lower than ESPN, but he's my favorite back out of the group right now. Take it with a grain of salt. I live outside of Boston, so Boston College I watch, so I do watch some ACC football. So he's probably one of the guys I'm more familiar with, but
right,
he's definitely probably my overall prospect based on the value of where I think you can get him, for, you know, versus what he could provide.
Yeah, he certainly is a guy that I mean, obviously at 216 pounds, 6 feet. I mean, he's not a small guy, but there's some questions about whether he can be the guy. And he's obviously very fast, and he's obviously really good at pass catching. You know, that certainly is a really important aspect of that, and that can be very useful. And I heard you say, you know, late second, early third. I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, he's as we mentioned, he's ranked 60 overall by ESPN, and PFF has him, I think, quite a bit later than that. He has him at 86 overall. So, I mean, there's certainly a wide gap there in which he might go. I think at 86, I think we can both agree that would be a steal. If you could get him that late in the draft, I mean, that's basically late third round. That would be a great value for Trey Benson. And I think the other aspect of it is even though he hasn't had a 1,000-yard rushing year, that's a really good thing in many ways because that means he has, again, not as much wear on the tread. I mean, he did have an injury that led to him missing his freshman year at Oregon. And that was, you know, that is something you don't want to see later in his career, but he's gotten over that really well and has been very consistent. Only 316 total attempts, carries in college, and he averaged 6.1 yards per carry over that time. So certainly very productive there. And so what do you think about where he should land? Now, obviously, we talked about the Panthers. We talked about the Cowboys and where he might fit. I mean, I think here – you might want to think about the Chargers. You know, I kind of feel like he is a bigger, perhaps, you know, slot in for what they had in Austin Eckler. He's fast as well, so maybe that helps. And he might be able to slide in there. And they don't have really any weapons in Los Angeles right now with the Chargers. They've traded away everybody, right? They don't have Keenan Allen. They don't have Mike Williams. And they don't have Austin Eckler. And they don't have their tight end Everett. So they got nobody. So I guess at this point, that might be something that they would look into picking up. So what do you think about that? I mean, you got the Panthers, you got the Chargers. Now that I've thrown into the mix, you got the Cowboys. Obviously, you talked about the Ravens. I'm not sure if they'd be a good fit there or not. Do you think any of those would be a good landing spot here for Trey Benson?
So I'm going to annoy people listening, which is always good when you annoy the fan base.
Yes, that's brilliant. That's what we'd like to do.
But I'm just going to keep coming back to when we're evaluating drafts and fit and all that, like, you know, it's fun to play, you know, what if Trey was the thunder and lightning with Christian McCaffrey in the, you know, in San Fran or whatever, something like that, or just like, or, you know, Lynn's with the Eagles can do that. Like, I can't ignore the other parts that could fall.
Sure.
So like, I love what you just said, as far as the first team you mentioned here. But again, it really depends to me how the first round falls, because if the Bears, Commanders, Patriots, and Cardinals all go quarterback 1, 2, 3, 4, and in round the walk away with Marvin Harrison Jr. For Herbert, and they come back in the third round and grab Benson then, like, yeah, I love that, you know. And I don't even at that point, I don't even give a shit what they do in the second round, to be honest. Like, if they come away with that in the first round.
Right.
You know, I think it's all kind of like, it's just some kind of an interrelated part of this process. But yes, again, short way is, you know, like, if they go and address the offline and the defense in the first two rounds, then I hate the pick for the Chargers, because that's the number one weapon you take out of this. Like, that's, no, I don't like that. But presumably they get Marvin Harrison Jr. because it looks like the top four might, you know, we might see four quarterbacks go. And I think it was Harbaugh was saying, a quote from him earlier today saying that if the first four go quarterbacks, and it's like having the first pick for all in the draft, because we already got our quarterback and we have the whole portal.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
So I think, again, if it falls like that, then I'm a huge fan of that. Another one to me, and I know I just got somebody in the offseason, I was looking at stuff as you were talking, so I don't even know if you mentioned this, but intriguing fit for me later in the draft, and I'm trying to quickly search for the third round pick. and it doesn't look like they do, so never mind. Where did that go?
But it could be fourth round, right? He could fall to the fourth round, right? I mean, it's entirely possible.
All right, fourth round. Let's prevent he falls to the fourth round, although they got like 129. So, sorry, they got 108. So, yeah, if he falls to the 108, and the Vikings are able to add him to a Thunder and Lightning, you know, backfield, Aaron Jones.
They can move up,
they
can certainly move up.
That seems like an intriguing fit for me. Not a single one of these backs do I like coming into a position where they want back. That's what I'm going to say. I think every of these backs, given the fact that there isn't a Bijan Robinson in this draft or Saquon Barkley in this draft, like, the most ideal fit for any of these guys is they're going into a committee where they compliment somebody else. That's where I'm at with that. I also think, again, depending on how the draft falls, if we're talking fourth round, if he fell to the Patriots to go pair off with Ramondre Stevenson and kind of fill more in like the Ezekiel Elliott role from last year, and the Patriots address other more glaring holes in the first couple of rounds here and on a team that has a good defense, that's another potential fit I like. And I'll throw out one last one, the Jaguars. To me, a lot of weapons across the board, and him fitting in as a supplemental running back backfield would be intriguing to me too.
Yep. All those sound like those are all things that I think could definitely happen. And I do like the idea. I have to admit, I do like the idea of him going to the Chargers and teaming. I mean, Gus Edwards is all they got, but that sounds like a great combo. If you put them back there in the backfield together, and he gets a chance to learn a little bit as well. So that being said, we got a lot more guys to talk about here, so we're going to talk about them in groupings. So we're going to take them. We'll take them three at a time here. Well, the next grouping here is Blake Corum out of Michigan, Marshawn Lloyd out of USC, and Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. And, of course, they have a lot of these guys have them in different order because in ESPN, Blake Corum, Marshawn Lloyd, Jalen Wright, that's the order they go in. But on PFF, Jalen Wright is the number two running back all the way up at 71 overall. So there's a lot of give and take there in terms of the of what we're looking at. And let's just get into it. You know, which of these three guys intrigue you the most, and what are your thoughts about where they should go?
You know, the guy that intrigues me the most, and I wanted to actually just to double check that I wasn't the only person who thought this. So I just actually searched his draft comparison to see again if this was just me and maybe me getting tricked by the uniforms here. I love Jalen Wright, and this is not because I worked at PFF, but I'm wondering if people out there are already starting to figure out where I'm going with this. But the draft comparison is Alvin Kamara, which is what was intrinsically in my head. And we Google Jalen Wright draft comparison, the first person that pops up is Kamara. Again, not trying to just make it about a Tennessee thing, but I mean, again, a guy here whose athleticism score on NFL.com is a 93. You know, 5'10", 10, so he's got some size to him, you know, in terms of his weight. And then, you know, he can be really explosive. And, you know, he's fast and 4.38, 40-yard dash, a 1.55, 10-yard split. Like, he's super athletic. And I think it's hard to think back to Kamara draft year, but he was kind of a guy that – you know, pre-training camp was not getting a lot of buzz, and he was one of those guys that started to emerge as like a fancy sleeper. And if you drafted him, like I was lucky to in my leagues that year, by like week eight, you were like, you saw it, and you're like, okay, this is real. So, yeah, I think that, you know, and again, he had last year 22 catches out of the backfield. So I think he can give you both on that. So, again, another guy whose production was not super high, but I – without throwing shade, I think that could be more of a product of what was who was throwing him the ball, as opposed to you know, what he can do. So I think in the right fit, where he's really, again, kind of put in that kind of role, I think that's, you know, potentially a really good really good fit for him. And I think he's the most intriguing guy for me. Joe, on the production side, one of the local writers around here who's doing a lot of graphic stuff has this great line about Joe Milton, which is because I'm sure we've all seen the video of Joe Milton throwing the ball out of the stadium. But you know, if you need a guy to throw the ball 80 yards, Joe Milton is your guy. And if you need a guy to throw it 10 yards, Joe Milton's the guy who'll throw 80 again. He doesn't have an underneath soft touch. He can throw it out of the arena. He can't hit the low down check down. So again, you put Jalen in an offense with somebody who has that skill set, and I think he could be a really big steal at the running back position.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you know, Jalen Wright, it was second in FBS with 7.4 yards per carry. So certainly a guy who's incredibly productive, and someone who I could see really kind of slotting in and starting right away, honestly. There's a few running backs here that I think can do that. I think he's one of the guys who can do that. I can tell you now, I'll go the other way. The guy who out of that group of three that we just talked about, which is Blake Corum, Marshawn Lloyd, and Jalen Wright, I agree, Jalen Wright's the most impressive. Marshawn Lloyd is the one that least impressed me, I have to say. And, you know, say what you will about it. I'm not saying that he's particularly bad. I just don't think that he's anything particularly special either. I just feel like he tested the combine pretty much generic, basically throughout the combine. Did not really separate himself from anybody in any way, shape, or form. And I kind of felt like there was not a whole lot there that led me to believe he could be an every down starter in any NFL football team. But that being said, you know, being a later round pick, he certainly can be a starter. I just think that there's I'm going to reserve my thoughts on Marshawn Lloyd, and the comparison they're making with him is Jerick McKinnon. So that's, you know, that doesn't fill me with a huge amount of the like awe, shock and awe here when it comes to an NFL comparison. Not that I'm showing shade on Jerick McKinnon, but I just don't see him as being particularly exciting. And I actually like Blake Corum coming out of Michigan. I actually think he's solid, and he can be a guy who is more of an early down back. I don't see him as being every down, but early down for certain. Let's get to this next group of three here, because we spent so much time talking about Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson. I don't want to miss out on these guys. So these guys are a little bit more question marks here. So we got Brucky Irving out of Oregon. We got Ray Davis out of Kentucky, and we got Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. Give us your thoughts on those three. I mean, which of those three kind of catch your attention, and where do you think they might end up?
Sorry, I was so thrown aback by you went with your least impressive. I think was a.
Well,
was
we
a
agree
on
the most impressive.
I
think Jalen Wright, by and large, is the most impressive in that group of three. And Blake Corum is a guy I watched a lot. But, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I mean Blake. I think Blake Corum's the least impressive. And again,
go
to the next gen NFL. He's a 75 on his production, 77 on his athleticism, and 79 on his total score. He's a 5'8" running back who had arguably the best offensive line in college football. And I really think that his popping was more of a referendum on Donovan Edwards, season last year than it was about a positive about Blake Corum. So if we're talking a guy in that group, at least it's him. AJ McCarthy being a product of a good offense. I think Blake Corum is the product of a good offense. So neither here nor there.
So we hate both those guys, and basically it's Jalen Wright or bust is what we came up with on that group.
I guess so.
So Bucky Irving, Ray Davis, and Braylon Allen. What do you got? What do you think about those guys? Bucky Irving out of Oregon, Ray Davis out of Kentucky, and Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, honestly, again, just not like a super impressive group for me. Once you get down to this level, you got guys with all that have some sort of flaw in their
right.
game. So you've got these guys lower. I mean, Bucky Irving is the one that's the ranked highest on EFF. But again, like their lead line on him is that he's an incredibly efficient player in both the run and pass games. I mean, they got him on their big board at 84. So, I mean, that's, I think that's reasonable guys going 84. But I know that the issue with this group is these guys are all kind of late day two, early day three, and you can still get really productive NFL players in that range. So I don't love any of them. Ray Davis they have as a potential starter, and then Braylon Allen they have weight.
Like ranked at 102. I mean, we're getting down there at this point. And by PFF, I should clarify, Ray Davis 102 by PFF and 121 by ESPN. I mean, at 121, I'm feeling pretty good about Ray Davis. I mean, I feel like he's had breakout games. He's one of those guys who kind of flew in a little bit under the radar, but he did have 40 rushing touchdowns against Florida last year and 280 yards. And, he set the school record of 21 total touchdowns. I mean, it is Kentucky, and he did transfer from Temple to Vanderbilt to Kentucky. He's been productive at every stop. He's been pretty good. I mean, he didn't necessarily test fantastic at the combine, but his production score of 75 ranks him as fifth overall for combine running back. So, I think there is some value if you get him around the 102 to 120 round stage, don't you think? I mean, that's not so bad for someone like Ray Davis.
Yeah. Again, I just, what I'm really looking for out of a guy at this age or at this stage in the draft is I'm looking for somebody who can do at least one thing really well. And so again, when I see guys who are really being touted for their efficiency, it doesn't encourage me. Being totally honest, but
that's fair.
Braylon Allen is actually the worst of them in terms of PFF. Is the one I'm most intrigued by in this group, simply because he was a guy able to find the end zone a lot, but basically a touchdown per game player in college. More. Now I'm doing math live on the show. It's always good.
Awesome.
He had 35 touchdowns.
We're not known for math. That's not our thing.
He had 35 touchdowns in 34 games collegiately. And 6.8 yards precarious his freshman eligibility, 2022, 5.4, and then 5.4 again last year. One of the things they mentioned, in the scouting report over and over again is that Wisconsin, a Big Ten team, even though, there's a million teams in that conference now, but whatever. usually a good offensive line, right? And he had a good offensive line last year, so it's hard to really determine if success was, adding to that or an effective or that was a causation for success. But the thing I think I find the most intriguing about him was that his pass, his receiving totals went up every year, and he's a bigger back at 6'2", 245 last year, and now without watching every single one of his receptions, the yards total here, and not super impressive, 28 catches for 131 yards, but that was on 30 targets. So if you're a big back and you can, run and you go to a spot, a really good offensive line where you can be, the number two guy, and you can come out here and catch 28 out of 30 targets, over a 90% completion percentage to you. I think that's a value add. Again, when looking at this group of three, trying to find one that does something really well, that's the most intriguing to me. So again, based on where he's projected, somewhere fourth round, early fifth round, adding him again to a talented backfield. Like you said, we're going to talk about the same teams. Like my immediately goes to Philly, where they have a workhorse who's going to do a lot of it. And this is a guy who's just going to come out there and stells in his first couple seasons. That's an intriguing prospect for me.
Yeah. And a plus and minus on him, obviously, is he's a 3-year starter for them in Wisconsin, essentially. So he's obviously, the plus obviously being that he obviously has great durability. He has great consistency from year to year. 12 touchdowns from scrimmage last year, 11 the year before, 12 before that. So he certainly is productive every single year. PFF has it at 134 overall, and ESPN has him all the way down to 150 overall. At that point, I think there could be some great value here with Braylon Allen. I do like that one a lot. Let's get
and
to this last
starter. Just want to touch on it too, because you said 3 years. I think important to note that not crazy usage. His yards, his rush attempts, 2021, 185, 22, 230, and then 181 last year.
Yeah.
So not a guy
very
that they were leaning on 250. So it's not 3 years of wearing down his running back shelf life. 3 years of a pretty reasonable usage for us to see what he can do without, ruining the longevity of his career. So,
yeah, totally agree with that. That's a good point. And so now we get to that last grouping here, and that's Isaac Garendo out of Louisville, Kamani Vidal out of Troy, Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue, and your and my favorite, Audric Estime out of Notre Dame. I was going to ask you who caught your attention, but I know we want to talk about Audric Estime at least a little bit. So let's talk about Audric Estime a little bit. Obviously out of Notre Dame, he's right now being ranked pretty low in most big boards. According to ESPN, 201 overall, much higher in PFF at 116. That's a huge, huge swing there from 116 to 201. And obviously, there's lots of plus and minus there for Audric Estime, 5'11", 221 pounds. What are your thoughts here on Audric Estime? And I know you and I have watched a lot of Audric Estime when he was in college. So what do you think?
I hate him. and that's as a Notre Dame fan. I think we actually talked about it at one point when we soft intro the show back over the fall, and we were talking about a recent Dame game. I don't see it with him. And again, I think comparisons, like talk about Jalen and comparing him to there's a lot of car in his game, but sometimes we get a little too simple with it. So I think we saw a big, heavy running back in, blue and gold, and we said, oh, that's Jerome Bettis 2.0, except for Jerome Bettis, I'd have to go back and look. I don't even know. Out in the whenever he was drafted, early 90s, late 80s, whatever, that we were in athleticism scores. Estimates on athleticism scores is 64. I guarantee you, Jerome's would have been 70s, high 70s. Like for a big guy, he was athletic. And I was pulling this up as we were talking to see 4.71. I can't believe it's that fast. That's shocking to me that he got 4.71 because he's just. There's just nothing in that pop. It sounds like he's in quicksand players who
you know, Marshawn Lynch being, you know, obviously like a different breed, but even the LeGarrette Blount, you know, famous run in Tampa years ago where he broke through like seven different Green Bay Packers players, and there's just like a boatload of athleticism in there. You know, Saquon, like, you know, again, they're, I love a big physical run, but Derrick Henry, obviously, again, another landmark one, but like, Estime is not that to me. Estime is, he is the king of, you know, that, you know, one of the people were talking about, one of the hard things about projecting and you know, analyzing products is that, you know, when you're Pac-12 or whatever, or Pac-10, whatever it is now, like you know, Arizona, like N'Keal Harry is, and you're playing a bunch of 5'9", 5'10", corners that aren't going to ever sniff the NFL. Like, of course, a 6'2", 6'3" guy looks great. So I was going to like Estime and say, like, of course, at the collegiate level, he looks big and physical and strong. But now he's going to go in the NFL against grown men. And once his size is neutralized, he doesn't run with a ton of power. He doesn't run with a ton of strength. He doesn't, you know, again, even someone like AJ Dillon in Green Bay, who there's some force on. I just, again, looked like he was running in quicksand every time I watched last year. Even as a Notre Dame fan, I just not a prospect I'm excited about. And the fact that, you know, wherever he goes drafted in this, I think it's going to be too high because he's just good example. NFL prospect grade has some average backup or a special teamer. I think that's his.
Yeah, but they also compare him to Jamal Williams.
Best case scenario.
Which is Jamal Williams obviously has a role. I mean, he doesn't get many yards, but he gets lots of touchdowns. You don't think Audric Estime can be that guy, that kind of red zone guy, goal line guy, you know, short yardage back type of guy? I mean, obviously he's not going to carry the ball every down, but he might have a role in a tandem running back by committee with an early down back in some situations. Don't you think?
Sure.
Well, I was like pulling teeth over here. You're like, I gotta say something nice about Audric Estime. Oh my god!
as you say it, you know what, one thought actually might be intriguing, just because again, there's a lot of weapons, and I don't really think that. I know their starter is a bit of a physical guy, but he doesn't ever seem to. You have to look at like efficiency rates in you know, a goal to go or one to go, but a guy, again, who runs very violently but doesn't ever strike me as a really great short yardage back. So I think, you know, if Estime went late fifth, early sixth round to someone like the Texans, that could be what the exact role described, go fall forward for a half a yard and score, sure. You know, again, the prospect grade on him is wild. I like him much more, and this is going to sound really insulting, and maybe it just is, but as a UDFA, if he falls through the cracks and doesn't get on a real, real minimum deal as your second or third guy, more than spending any kind of draft capital on him personally.
Wow. Okay. So you're really not up on Audric. So, hey, listen, I'm going to go the other direction on this. Of the other guys that I have there, I think one guy who's kind of flying a little bit under the radar is Kamani Vidal, running back out of Troy. I just don't think, obviously, Troy doesn't get a ton of coverage here, but he did some amazing things in his senior year, 2023, 14 games, ran 1,661 yards and 295 carries, averaged 5.6 yards per carry and 14 touchdowns. Only two fumbles. Now, I know we don't want to see any fumbles, but, I mean, with all those carries of only two fumbles, I think he has relatively good ball security there. And, obviously, in the passing game also had over 200 yards receiving. So I really do think that he's going kind of under the radar, and people are all over the board with Kamani Vidal. PFF at 184 overall, and he's at 159 at ESPN. You know, you get to that third, fourth round, I think he's going to get passed up because he went to Troy, and I think there's some value there for Kamani Vidal. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, echo everybody. And again, as we go later on, this is where I really love guys who go to schools like a Troy that are a little bit more under the radar. This is where you find your Austin Eckler, right, who's a little bit more of like an undercurrent guy. So, no, I totally agree with you there. And one point I wanted to say, just because you touched on it with Estime, with Jamal Williams, I thought you were crazy, but I see that next to where Lance Zierlein wrote on NFL.com. That's a really weird way to spell Eddie Lacy, but I guess that's what we did. So
some people spell it differently. You know, it's just the way it is around here. All right. Well, that takes us basically to the end of the show here, because we went way, way over time, which is because we love everybody, and that's why we did it. And that's cool, because we want to make sure we got through everybody, and we kind of did. So let's hit the air horn on the show here. All right. So, hey, Ryan, why don't you give us your social media so people can follow you?
Yeah, I regret to inform everyone that I have no really good gotcha.
You're not going to do some sort of gotcha. This is like gotcha journalism. You always throw out something completely out of left field that gets me off my game, and you're telling me you're going to let me off the hook.
It always, but I'm just trying to get busy. I got a Euro trip tomorrow, so I've had a lot going on. I did see that Riley Green from the Tigers wrist pants sliding into home today. So the MLB uniforms are not just showing everyone cheek; they're also ripping
like
on slides into home.
Literally showing
cheek. So really, really nice job for that. So that's what I got for you today. It's not as good as the last two bombshells
I dropped on you. No, that's not bad.
But,
I did not expect to be talking about Riley Green's cheeks today. So that definitely is a huge plus. I'm sure our listeners love that. Hey, as per usual, you can find me on Twitter, X, at FB Garbage Time, or at the Football Garbage Time on Facebook. Uh-oh. There's more?
Before we go, as we're out here, our group that has been doing this mock draft, which you should all be checking out on Twitter, every single year we start this, and this is, you're gonna have to picture me because I'm gonna be traveling now. Every single year we're checking 8 times a day, and then finally when my life gets busy after 5 or 6 days of the draft taking too long, all of a sudden my picks start coming in again. So that's the referendum on everybody else who took 12 hours per pick. I want it on the record that my first 3 picks were in an under 3 hour pitch.
I planned it that way. I said, you know what? I'm gonna wait till Ryan gets busy, and I'm gonna tweet this out. He's like, Ryan,
what's
your pick, man? It's 3 a.m.
I think at the end of this year, you should publicly post all of our time per picks in the first round to just prove how efficient I was.
But how am I going to get away with getting your picks in the middle of the night then, man? Come on. All right. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody, and wasting time with us. Until next time, enjoy your NFL week.